This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're calling it, don't call it a touchback. Steve Ivey's saying don't call it a comeback. Although it was kind of a comeback. CSU came back to beat UNLV over the weekend, and that was a big win for Colorado State. Joining me now, Steve Ivey, who does his blog and podcast about all things Colorado State men's hoops at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. Steve, my man, always great to catch up with you on a Monday.
Brady, how the heck are you? What a great week of college basketball. And even though I'm not the hugest NFL fan, there were some very good games over the weekend. I really enjoyed the games I watched over the weekend. So, but it was sure a fun week last week with CSU, and then obviously the Northern Colorado Bears having a great weekend, and CU tattooing the Oregon school. So, you know, basketball on the up and up in Colorado right now.
Yeah, and even not far outside of Colorado too, with Wyoming beating Nevada. I tweeted this out over the weekend, Steve. It's like rule number one this year, especially in the Mountain West, don't lose at home. And Colorado State so far has not lost at home in the Mountain West.
Absolutely. You know, rule number two, Brady, don't give Linder a week to prepare for a team, because they absolutely murdered Nevada.
Oh, crazy.
He had his team so ready. The guy's a great coach, and he had his team ready. And, you know, you look at it, you go, oh, my gosh, it's an upset. Nevada's a top 50 team. But you give Linder a week, he's going to beat a lot of teams. He's going to be tough this coming Saturday when CSU goes up there.
Yeah, some big games coming up for Colorado State, no question about it. This UNLV game, and again, if you follow the Mountain West closely like you do, then you knew that, hey, this game is not an easy game at all coming up with the Rebels. You know, maybe the casual fan likes to look at records and standings and everything, but this was a big win where I think many before that game even were thinking, man, UNLV could be one of those teams that squeezes in at some point. But this was a nice dub for Colorado State.
Yeah, you know, UNLV, if you look in depth at what's happened, you know, they opened the season. They have a lot of fifth-year senior transfers that came in, but they were missing from the lineup, and they really didn't get the team together until about eight games ago. And subsequently, their record is about 500 against top 50 teams, which says they're probably a top 50 team. They had a good road win against Boise right before they played CSU. They have a very, very good team, very talented, very experienced, one of the top 50 experienced teams. And then on top of it, a really good freshman point guard who was a five-star who reclassified from the 2024 class to the 2023 class. And they got a really good roster, and they were coming in hot and playing well. And so that turned out to be just a fantastic game. CSU looked to be back on track after struggling against Air Force. They looked to be very much back on track against UNLV, and I think only the fact that they struggled shooting from the outside kept that game from being an even better win for CSU.
Steve, I watched one of Adam Nygon, our friend who does color commentary for CSU basketball on the radio side of things. He did a video a couple days ago, well before the UNLV game, about Joel Scott. Like, hey, you remember who you are. You got to be that guy out there. And that game, for the most part, he looked kind of like the Joel Scott we were seeing in the first like 5, 6, 7, 8 games. 14 points for him, 3 boards, but he was aggressive down in the paint.
He was really valuable, not just, you know, the scoring in the paint. That's what he does. He missed one shot the entire game, and that was basically a play he got fouled on when he went for a dunk. But it wasn't just his scoring. His defense was very, very good. And they had to play him a lot at the five to give Cartier a rest, because Rashawn Mbemba struggled coming off the bench. So he had to put in a lot of good minutes at multiple positions, defending guys bigger than him. And the defense ultimately is what won CSU the game.
Steve Ivey joining us, talking Colorado State Rams hoops. And I kind of like it. I know this isn't exactly a popular take, because you know, sports fans don't want to have heart attacks every single night watching games. But there's a part of me, when CSU goes down, I'm kind of like, I lean in, not because I'm nervous, because I know a show's about to happen. Something clicks with Isaiah Stevens. He's a great player no matter what, but man, when they're down, there was like three or four sequences there, or sequence, I guess, for Isaiah, where he made a big three, had a big pass, had a quick little two. I mean, he just had a special run there, which really I felt like kind of put Colorado State back in control.
Yeah, it was you know, we kind of laugh about it. We sit and turn to each other. When it's the last 5 minutes of a close game and you just look and go, it's Zay time. And he goes to work, and, you know, he had a really good, to get tied. They were down, you know, they were down 10 in the second half. They worked their way back, down 68-66, and he threw one of the great bounce passes of all time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
To a cutting Josiah Strong. It was inch perfect 20-foot bounce pass for an easy layup. They get a stop, a really good stop, and then Isaiah comes down, makes a three. You know, he gets all of about 2 feet of space, and immediately that ball's going up. Next possession, he runs a little screen action with Pat Cartier, passes the ball, really good quick pass to Cartier, who nails a three, and that was the 4-point lead that basically put him over the top. It was Zay at his best, and you know. It's so hard to describe. You've seen it. You've been there in person. You've seen it. He just takes over, but it's not casual, but it's just so, you just see it coming and everybody knows it's coming and the other team can't stop it as hard as they try. And you just kind of sit back and you enjoy it because you know it's coming. It's inevitable.
It's interesting with Isaiah too. It's not, and this isn't actually a bad thing at all, but it's not like this overwhelming, and the passes sometimes are, but it's just nice shots. It's just consistent shots. And I think that's actually a better compliment to him, that even when he's on this, you know, like with the Nuggets, they call it the Murray flurry. And I always kind of joked at that, like, man, I want a player that doesn't need the Murray flurry throughout a game. And need to have a 4-minute stretch or whatever. So Stevens is that guy. He's consistent throughout, but then he just has a slight uptick when it's win time, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, that's what makes him the great player he is. You know, if you look at, and this is not meant to be a slam on the UNLV freshman point guard DJ Thomas, but he didn't have it. He doesn't have what Isaiah has yet. Will he get it? I assume he will. He's very, very good. But if you watched UNLV down the stretch, they didn't get what they needed out of DJ Thomas. They were down by two, and he missed a short 8-foot baseline jumper, missed it badly. And so you know, those are the kinds of things you don't see from Zay, and that you see from players that are a little lesser quality. And that kid is a really good player. Isaiah just happens to step up his game at money time.
All right, so Steve, CSU with that win, and they needed these. They got Air Force, they got UNLV. We talked about those games, both kind of scary situations for the Rams, but at the end of the day, they're dubs, had to win them. Now they're back in the top 25. So the AP's got them, the poll's got them at 24, coaches' poll has them at 23. So at least last week, mission accomplished for Colorado State. They move on now. In 2 days, they got to go to Nevada. And then, as you just mentioned earlier, playing in Wyoming, it's always kind of tough. But the Cowboys are proving that they're more than just a bottom-of-the-barrel Mountain West team.
Yeah, you know, let's start with Nevada. Nevada, CSU might be, we'll see what happens there. Nevada's lost three in a row. They were very, very much in the NCAA field up until the last three games, and they're basically playing themselves out of it. They've been struggling. They dropped a game at home to Boise State, who's very good. They went on the road to San Diego State, and then Laramie, and so they've lost three in a row. And their season is on the brink right now in terms of championships and NCAA bids, and so it's going to be a tough game in Reno for the Rams. But if the Rams want to win a Mountain West title, this is a game you basically have to look at and go, it's more than an opportunity. This is a game where I think we've got to see CSU step up, and this is a game where they've got to bring home the W. And then you come home, you fly home on Wednesday night, and you get a day and a half to prepare, and then you head up to Laramie. And like I said, Wyoming, they're 3-2. All three wins are at home. Two buzzer beaters and then a really good win over Nevada. That's going to be a brutal game. It'll be a tough game. Wyoming will have an extra day of rest to get ready for it. So it's going to be a tough game for the Rams on Saturday up in Laramie.
Yeah, and then you get to come back home to Moby Arena on the 30th and take on San Diego State. So the next three games are going to be really difficult for Colorado State. We'll see what they end up doing, my friend.
Yeah, you know, the joy, you know, I think that the fun, Brady, you know, you go, oh, my gosh, three tough games in a row. Well, that's the joy of the Mountain West this year. There aren't any breathers, and I tell people all the time, CSU probably plays the toughest schedule of anybody because, you know, you talk about, quote, the lower-ranked teams like Wyoming and Air Force. Those are rivalry games. Those are games that are where the teams are basically dead even going into the game because they don't like each other. There is no other team in the Mountain West that plays rivalry games like CSU. And so, you know, you're supposed to get the breathers. You don't. The only games you, quote, have breathers in are the single games against Fresno State and San Jose State, and they're both decent teams. Those are the breathers. Everything else, 16 out of the 18, are tough. And so they've got to be up, and you got to be ready to play every game. You've got to be not just ready to play every game, but you got to prepare. Every game is singular. You can't even be talking about a Mountain West Conference championship right now. You can only be talking about the next game that's in front of you.
Yeah, next one coming up at Nevada should be a big test for Colorado State. Steve, my man, throw that out there for our listeners where they can follow you along, your Twitter, your X account, your site where folks can check out your blog and each and, you know, when you're doing your podcast too, each and every week.
Yeah, so you can catch me on X/Twitter at Swolecracker, SWOLLCRACKER. My blog is at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com, as you mentioned earlier. And then I come out with a weekly podcast, usually Monday mornings on Spotify, and you can find that at Crackers College Hoops. I didn't do one this morning. I'm a little bit under the weather. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm going to try and record it tonight, and I'll talk about just a bunch of interesting tidbits. You know, the one thing I wanted to talk about, Brady, we didn't get a chance to, and hopefully I got a little bit of time to do it. The game at UNLV was really, really a lot of fun, and just from a game management perspective, the national anthem with a guy playing a guitar like Jimi Hendrix, the halftime with a guy making his first shot from half court to win beer for a year, a lot of fun, a lot of energy in the building. And I have to tell you, after the game, and I'll talk about this, and I mentioned it in my my game report, but I'll talk about it a little more on my podcast when I record it. I was giving Joe Palmer a little bit of gas, you know, and I have a good relationship with Joe, and I had a little fun with him. I said, Joe, you were 0-for-5 against UNLV. That kid from they brought a kid out at halftime, and he hit his half-court shot for beer, and it was his first shot. I said, Joe, instead of going to the locker room, you need to be out at half-court taking lessons how to shoot, man. And he laughed. We had a good time with it. But, you know, I'll that's the kind of stuff I like to talk about in my podcast, get a little more personal. And, you know, Joe is so good-natured. I can rib him and stuff. So I'll try and record the podcast either tonight or maybe tomorrow morning.
Yeah, Steve, I love that kind of stuff, that insight that you can give us, and I think it's great. Okay, this is an unpopular question. I got about 2 minutes, an unpopular take here. Okay, so I know Jenny Kavnar was doing the game on FS1, and it was the orange out. They were the Aggies. She's calling them the Aggies the whole time. Steve, I'm trying not to be a jerk, and I know it's tradition and all that, but they're still the Rams, okay? Like, we're transferring and we're transforming. That was weird to me, but I know Rams fans will absolutely hate that take.
You know, Brady, to be honest with you, as a marketing professional, I'm kind of with you. The brand is the Rams.
Yeah, like if you...
The game is a special game, and we love the orange out, and we love to honor the Aggies, but I'm with you, man. They're the Rams.
Yeah, like if I'm a random person tuning into that game and I'm like, oh, is this that Rams? And then I'm not paying close attention and then I hear Aggies like three times, I'm going to be like, I don't know. And I know you'd have to be, you have to be not great at following basketball to fall for that. But still, like Rams, 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 Rams. It's always Rams. It should always be Rams. You became the Rams. You're not the Aggies. Honor tradition, honor the orange, but you're the Rams.
There
it is, Steve.
Can we agree that maybe Jenny fumbled one out of the end zone on that?
Well, then UNLV gets the ball on the 20 now. You know, good for them. It's good. All right, Steve, appreciate you, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You bet, Brady. Good talking to you. Go Rams.
You too. Go Aggies as well. Like, I get it. They're wearing their orange. It's the orange out, and they used to be the Aggies in like 1942 or whatever. But like, and I know Jenny went to CSU, but you got to try to not be biased. She's calling them the Aggies the whole time. She's like, "Oh, three pointer, the Aggies," and I'm just like, "No, no, you are the Rams. This isn't the WWE where." You know, Mick Foley comes out as Mankind, and then in 3 months later, Mankind dies, and now you're Cactus Jack. No, you are the Rams. Unless you want to go back to be the Aggies, you are the Rams. 43 minutes after the hour. Let me read this text first. Eastside Chris. You guys are still on. Bring an insider penalty specialist to help with understanding the calls. Oh, wait, you've got Coach Bruce in the house. I think I know the calls, Eastside Chris. I know what happened. It's you fumble the ball out of bounds in the end zone, and it's a touchback. And I'm saying it's stupid. 44 after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.